Most people don't realize how much of their personal information is bought and sold daily. Data brokers make billions pulling your details from public records, then selling it without your consent, landing it with scammers and stalkers. It's why you get endless robocalls and hyper-targeted ads. That's where Aura comes in. Aura actively removes your data from broker sites and keeps it off, instantly alerting you if your information appears in a breach or on the dark web. Aura goes beyond data protection. With one app, you get a VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam protection, and up to $5 million in identity theft insurance, all backed by 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Competitors charge the same price for just one of these services. Aura gives you all of it together. Start your free trial at aura.com/safe. Protect yourself now at aura.com/safe. That's aura.com/safe.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. My goodness, this has really been one of those weeks where a lot of big stories are happening, and we're going to try our very best today to get to all of them. By the way, write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling into the program today. That number, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926, and we'll be getting to your calls. So late yesterday, we got word that the verdict had been reached in the Carmelo Anthony trial, and he was found guilty. It was a unanimous verdict, and 35 years in prison. That was the penalty. That's the price that Carmelo Anthony is going to have to pay for stabbing a 17-year-old boy to death, Austin Metcalf. Now, we were talking about this last night on Newsmax, and I wanted to have a little conversation. I was getting a little testy with one of our guests during the show yesterday. And the reason why is, you know, the guy was coming right out of the gate and was like, well, you know, this really isn't about race, and we shouldn't make it about race, and, you know, we should be conciliatory. And look, the reality of it is this is all about race. I mean, it shouldn't be, but it is. When you've got people out there saying that the only good cracker is a dead cracker, when you've got people chanting blank white people, you can't help but understand this is all about race. And there are a lot of people in the conservative media world, and they get so freaked out over the race issue. We don't get freaked out here, because for me, it really is, and pardon the expression here, it really is a black and white issue for me. Now, the reality is that we're all made in God's image, right? That's what we used to sing in the little Baptist church that I grew up in. We used to sing a song in Sunday school. Maybe you sang the song too. Jesus loves all the little children, all the children of the world. Red, yellow, black, white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I mean, that is a very central truth, that we are all created in God's image. And yet critical race theory has done this to our nation. Critical race theory has infected our culture. And I blame Barack Hussein Obama for this. As a matter of fact, I do it in writing in my book, The Golden Age. And we're going to be taking your calls on this through the show today, because we've got to talk about this. But there are people outside of that courtroom, and even the parents of Carmelo Anthony, who believe that Austin Metcalf got what he deserved. And the irony here is, one of the most powerful witnesses in this case, and I did follow the case, one of the most powerful witnesses in the case happened to be a witness for the defense. 15 times Carmelo Anthony was told to get out of that tent, that he had no business being in the tent. And if you're in cross country, if you've run track, you know that the tents for the teams are sort of like, They're sacred areas. They're temples for people. And when he was told, and by the way, Carmelo Anthony had no business being there, he also was not allowed to have any weapon on him on school property, and he did. So the testimony really was damning against Carmelo, which is why the verdict came back guilty, and it was unanimous. Cut number two, please.
Courtroom. Jurors heard more emotional testimony about what happened the day Austin Metcalf was killed. Yesterday, Metcalf's track coach, Rob Starr, took the stand, and he said, each school's team tent is considered its own space at a track meet. It's a big deal for athletes from other schools to go into another team's tent, like a locker room. Today, one of Metcalf's teammates testifying, several people told Carmelo Anthony, you probably shouldn't be here. You need to leave our tent. Anthony was told to leave around 15 times. He says no one tried to gang up on Anthony, telling the jury they originally tried calmly to ask him to leave. He described the situation as, quote, minor pushing at most. But from there, things escalated. The teammates say Anthony and Metcalf were both angry. And that's when he says Anthony told Metcalf, with his hands in his backpack, touch me and find out. That teammate testified that Metcalf pushed Anthony and then Anthony stabbed him. He says he then heard Metcalf say, oh my God. Another teammate also took the stand. And when asked whether it looked like Metcalf was trying to pick a fight, he said no. When asked about the same situation, if Anthony was trying to pick a fight, he said yes. When asked if what he saw looked like self-defense, he answered no, sir. Jurors today also hearing from the officer who arrested Anthony. Frisco School Resource Officer Eduardo Cortez testified he radioed other officers telling them he had the alleged suspect in custody.
Okay, that's enough. So that's the gist of it there. So, and by the way, you had black teammates that were testifying against Carmelo Anthony here. So it was never about race, but it was always about race. And now they're saying, well, it was an illegitimate verdict because the jury was all white. Again, the facts are the facts, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to the phones. We're going to try to work in as many calls today as possible on this. This is a story that the entire nation is talking about, and we're going to talk about it today. 901-260-5926. Do you think the verdict and the punishment was fair here? 901-260-5926. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Brock is listening to us on KWAM, our flagship radio station. Hi, Brock. What's on your mind today?
I just want to point out the, whatever you want to call it, the craziness of the left-wing, whatever, activist, communist movement. They did nothing nationwide. Was that fella got beat to death here in Memphis, didn't fit the narrative. And all the police, what's his name, Kyrie Nichols, was that his name?
We're not talking about that. We're talking about what happened down in Texas.
Yeah, I know that, but that didn't fit the narrative. So now they run with this. So that's just all I got to say. You know, it's just, it's crazy, you know, it's foolishness, in my opinion. You know, what's going on. They had all they wanted with that, but they don't pick that story. They pick this one.
But again, going back to the Texas story, though, do you think that was a fair decision they reached based on what you know about the case?
Common sense. That's just walking around common sense.
Yeah.
You know, that you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that one out.
Brock.
But I'm just saying how they cherry-pick these issues.
Well, they do, and the reality of it is this, and they've been trying to compare this to George Floyd, which there is no comparison, or Trayvon Martin, which, again, there is no comparison here. But the thing that concerns me is that there is now they're trying to justify killing any white person in America simply because they're a white person. And the media is buying all of this, Brock. The media actually believes in the critical race theory idea that all white people are oppressors, and therefore the white people in America deserve what they get. I mean, that's the gist of critical race theory right there.
Oh, that's worldwide. They're finding that out in Ireland. The world is watching.
Well said. And we'll get to the Ireland story. That's another crazy story. We're going to get to that a little bit later on in the program. Brock, it's great comments to start off the show today. Thank you for calling in. Again, our number 901-260-5926. And so you've got the Black Panthers out there. It was insane in Frisco, Texas yesterday. And I'm wondering how many people actually there lived in Texas, or were these people, you know, were they shuttled in? There's actually a guy who is now threatening to attack any white person in Texas. Cut number 28, please.
Collin County, Dallas, Texas, Arlington, Grand Prairie, Irvin, Dalworth, Plano, Denton, Keller. It ain't safe for none of you white folks to come out this weekend. I'm giving y'all a fair warning right now. And guess what? It's going to be a bunch of outside that look like me, and we ain't out there with no pocket knives. We out there with these. I guarantee y'all gonna pay for what that judge just did to Carmelo. If you don't believe me, bring y'all bold ass out this weekend and put on your Austin Metcalf shirts and see what happened to you.
There you go. I mean, this is, and a lot of people, Todd, how dare you're just stoking and poking, Starnes. That's all you're doing. You're poking. No. We're the one talk radio show in America that's not afraid to talk about the big issues of the day. And I'm telling you, this is a big problem. Big problem in our country right now. And by the way, the whole Black Lives Matter, critical race theory, all that movement, you know who suffers the most in all of it? It's the black community. Black-on-black crime is insane. Nobody wants to talk about the black victims of black crime because that's the largest demographic that is under attack right now. But the idea that you can get out there and you can attack somebody just for the color of their skin, that's just absolutely absurd. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Here are the Black Panthers were out there. Cut number 29, please.
We gotta tell our kids the truth. That this is a racist ass country. We gotta tell them the truth. Who done you stop that cool ass shit? Don't nobody wanna hear about what we do to each other. We talking about what they doing to us. White folks kill white folks.
Unified.
Mexicans kill Mexicans.
Unified.
We ain't trying to hear no cool shit today. Go over there with them white folks with that. This is a racist-ass country. We're in a racist-ass state. This is a racist-ass court. There ain't nothing else to talk about. When has a white boy been before an all-black jury? Tell us, media. Tell us, white folks. When has a white boy been before an all-black jury? Never.
This is racist.
Is he okay?
Because it's, you know what? Whatever the verdict is, he got justice because he got to go before a jury of six, a 12, instead of being buried by six. We got to stand up. We're going to keep, that's right. You know what? Let this be our fucking defeat. Exactly. Come on, sister. Come on, sister. She right. This ain't no, this is a war. This is a war. This is a war.
All right, enough. So look, you heard them say that it's a war, and this is the Black Panthers, and they are a very violent group, and they do not like white folks. They just don't. But again, you're being taught in the media, you're being taught on TV shows coming out of Hollywood, the Democrats, they're all telling the world that the white people in America, that we're the problems, when in fact we are not the problem. And we haven't been the problem. One of the challenges, though, is that you've got a lot of white Republicans, and they're afraid to push back on this. Our Republican lawmakers are afraid to push back on this because this is the third rail. Nobody wants to talk about this. And so, therefore, the narrative begins to stick, and all of this begins to fester. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear, Jasmine Crockett. And here's how she is framing this. You know, she's still in Congress, and she is from Texas. Cut number 22, please.
Black women, especially black women who have black male children, mm-hmm. live in fear and agony every single day. A fear and agony that I promise you, the Metcalfs probably never spent a day living that way. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have just some real conversations about race in this country.
You know, you never want to tell somebody to go to hell, but Jasmine Crockett, you go to hell. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to say the Metcalf family hasn't felt pain, hasn't felt suffering? Their son was stabbed to death at a track meet. His twin watched his brother bleed out on the bleachers. And this is who Jasmine Crockett is. Cut number 21.
If a 300-pound man is beating me, like on top of me and beating me down, I'm not limited to fist. You know, I would argue that even the only time we go into things like people's hands being considered deadly weapons is typically like if they're a professional boxer or that kind of stuff. But I think by the time you start getting to like football player, good argument. Good freaking argument. We're not talking about like the golfers. We're talking about football players, right? Like this is what they are trained to do, is to inflict like serious physical contact.
So she's justifying, that's Jasmine Crockett, justifying the stabbing of Austin Metcalf. This is who these people really are. All right, we got to take a break here. Opening up the phone lines, do you think that the verdict and the punishment was fair here? 901-260-5926, our number, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hey guys, quick heads up. This is actually a big one. We're saying goodbye to something that's helped thousands of families over the years. The Patriot Power Generator, one of the best-selling solar generators of 2025, is officially being retired. And the reason? They've just released something even better. It's called the Patriot Power Generator 2200X, and this is their most powerful model yet. It's built for real-life situations, storms, outages, emergencies, when you need power the most. To launch it, they're doing something pretty crazy right now. You can get $500 off the generator, plus they're including two free solar panels, so you can double your charging power right out of the box. They're also throwing in a heavy-duty roll-in go-kart, an extended 3-year warranty, and if you're a senior or a veteran, you can save an additional $200. And here's the part that really stands out. Because they offer a payment plan, you can get started today for just $299, and it ships as soon as tomorrow. But this is a limited launch offer. It's first come, first served, and these kinds of deals don't stick around, especially with how unpredictable power outages have been lately. So if you've ever thought about having backup power for your home, now's the time to do it. Stay safe, stay prepared, and don't wait until the lights go out. Go to StarnsPrepper.com right now to take advantage of this limited time offer.
Only good crack is a dead crack. Only good crack is a dead crack. Only good cracker is a dead cracker. Only good cracker is a dead cracker. Only good cracker is a dead cracker.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show. Just some of the things that were being chanted outside of this courthouse yesterday in Collin County, Texas, Frisco, Texas. I want to play some audio here from Dominique Alexander, who is the spokesman for Carmelo Anthony's family. Cut number 25, please.
Not one black soul on a jury.
Oh, his wife. His wife.
An all white jury.
Damn.
Convicted him in 2 to 3 hours. We know that they did not prove their case.
Yes.
Wait a second. I think you finished.
They are currently Carmelo Anthony. But we know that the Next Generation Action Network put the first $10,000 towards an appellate attorney.
Yeah.
And we will fight Collin County like hell. I respected this process. I allowed and called for peace in this process.
Huh. See where that got us.
Yeah, so you sort of see where all of this is going. We will see if there's any sort of an appeal here. But again, as it now stands, this guy going to prison for 35 years. Here's my problem with all of this. The sentencing is between 5 years and 99 years. And for me personally, I think we needed to send a strong message here. I think that kid needs to be in jail for 99 years. He should have gotten the full penalty under the weight of the law. That is the only way we're going to stop this sort of outrageous violence. But again, going back to critical race theory, what does critical race theory say? That the white people in America are the oppressors and the black people are the oppressed. This guy did not have a tent. I guess he wanted a tent, and so he took it, even if that meant killing somebody. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Congressman Chip Roy coming up next.
Grainger knows when you're a procurement manager for an office park, you're not managing one building. You're managing all of them. And to stay ahead, you need to see through walls and around corners. Lights about to fail, filters ready to clog, HVAC on its last leg. If you wait until something breaks, you're already behind. Count on Grainger. For quality products, easy reordering, and 24/7 support. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
How many extremist Islamic groups do you have of the 1,500 or so organizations you have on your hate map?
Again, anyone can go to our website.
My office has been looking over it and can't really find one.
Again, it is the SPLC's.
You think SPLC could provide us a list of the Islamic-oriented groups that you have on your hate map?
Mr. Roy, we don't target any group because of its religion.
Really?
I want to be clear about that.
Really?
Yes, that's exactly right. We target no group because of its religion. We target groups because they express statements and engage in activities that demean and vilify.
So you brought up LGBTQ groups a minute ago. So you think there's a bunch of Islamic groups that are pro-LGBTQ? Is that the position of the SPLC? I just want to make sure the record is reflecting that.
All right, there you go. That was Congressman Chip Roy yesterday at this really incredibly insane hearing involving the Southern Poverty Law Center. And the congressman grilling the Southern Poverty Law Center for targeting groups like Family Research Council and Turning Point USA while turning a blind eye to groups that are actually out there committing very dangerous crimes and hate crimes across America. Well, we're honored to welcome to the program on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Congressman Chip Roy. Congressman, hope you're doing well.
Todd, great to be with you. Hey, I'm doing great.
Congressman, you kicked butt yesterday, really. It was really brilliant, your line of questioning, and I think you did just a remarkable job exposing the SPLC for who and what they really are.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, look, they make it easy because they're so partisan and so obvious in what they're doing, and frankly, they have no shame. I appreciate Jim Jordan calling this hearing. You know, I held a hearing in the Subcommittee on the Constitution, which I chair, back in, I think, December, from memory. And Tony Perkins testified. We had testimony from TPUSA, another great guy named Tyler O'Neill, who's done a lot of research on this. And the purpose was to start exposing this kind of vast network of the leftists, these Marxist organizations that are undermining our freedom and targeting Americans who believe in God, believe in country, believe in freedom. And SPLC is obviously at the top of that list. So I was glad to see this hearing. We were able to expose a lot. I think the American people had their eyes open. I'm filing legislation today to take away their tax status. I had intended to do that. Actually, I thought it already existed. I filed a bill to take CARES tax status away for what they do with associating with terrorists with respect to Islam. So now we're going to introduce this on SPLC today. They've done such a great disservice to the roots in the civil rights movement. And obviously, you had Dr. Martin Luther King's niece testifying yesterday. She did a fabulous job taking it to Democrats. You know, they've moved so far away from the core mission of what Dr. King was trying to accomplish so that we're not judging people by the color of their skin and that we're treating everybody equally as opposed to advancing a Marxist leftist mission. So glad to expose it, and I think we were able to do that yesterday.
The question is, you know, will ultimately they be held accountable? I know that the grand jury indictment, there will be trials. Do you think at the end of the day they're going to be held accountable for what they have inflicted on the conservative movement in America?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think, you know, there are multiple ways to hold them accountable. The Department of Justice is obviously pursuing the indictment, and they have their superseding indictment, and they're, you know, we'll see how that works out. I'm a former federal prosecutor, so you can't predict anything. I don't have the files in front of me as the prosecutor. But what we know, we've seen alleged in the indictment, and they were able to get the indictment. That tells me that they've got a pretty good case. And so I hope that they'll carry that forward. I hope that there will be justice. I hope they don't just, you know, slap them on the wrist. I think they need to pursue it hard. But Congress needs to engage as well. That's why we should take away tax status. That's why we should continue to expose not just SPLC, but all of these entities. The same groups that are involved with them, they're pushing these DAs and these judges that are putting criminals on our streets. Soros-funded, Arabella, the Wren Collective. If you don't know what these groups are, you should, listeners, because this is the groups that are funding these leftists that are putting criminals on your streets in Austin, Texas, Dallas, Houston, but all over the country. So that's a group. The Islamist movement, that's an organized group that is well-funded. There are 600 organizations operating across the country pushing the Islamification of our country, and we've got to stop it. And, look, I'm not going to back down on this stuff. This is our country, and we've got to defend it.
You know, Congressman, and we've got a couple of topics to talk about, but I want to ask you about that Islamification, because it seems to really be an issue in your state of Texas, which I think has shocked a lot of people. What is going on there? Is there a concerted effort to bring so many Islamists to the state of Texas, or is it just a coincidence?
So I believe it's multifactored. Number one, there's a push by Islamists to flood the zone in America, particularly the crown jewel of our great nation, the great state of Texas. They're doing it heavily in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. It's been going on for now several decades. You will remember, Todd, the Holy Land Foundation case dating back 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And the co-conspirator, the unindicted co-conspirator that's now affiliated with CARE. This is a network that has been growing and taking root for a long time. So one factor is the push. They want to infiltrate America. They want to take over our country, just as they're doing in the United Kingdom, just as they're doing in Paris and London. I mean, Paris and France. The second thing is, I would call it the over-deference to corporate America in our country as Republicans. We allow corporate boardrooms and, you know, bottom lines, cheap labor, H-1B visas, academic institutions claiming student visas, we allow them to flood the zone with all these foreigners that are completely changing the culture of our country. So if you take an Islamic movement that has a mission to take over our country, you marry it with corporate boardrooms, you don't give a crap about our culture and only care about the bottom line, and they're not invested in our communities in Texas, and you add all that together, then you've got a real problem, and then you allow them to hide behind the First Amendment while they're advancing a political ideology, which is what Islam is, to undermine our freedoms. So they're using our own protections for our real considered faith of Christianity and what we believe to protect us from government overreach. They're hiding behind that to advance a political ideology to take over our country. That's the perfect storm we're dealing with.
And to that point, Congressman, you're doing something about this, these really egregious H-1B visa abuses, and you have introduced legislation that would protect white-collar jobs here in the United States of America. Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, and I don't want to take sole credit. I've got several friends that have introduced good bills. My friend Eli Crane from Arizona has got a good bill I've co-sponsored, and there's a few that are out there. We took a slightly different approach where we wanted to focus in on, first of all, let me back up. We need to pause all immigration. So I introduced a bill last fall to pause immigration until we sort out our system. So that's step one, pause. But I did introduce legislation to target H-1Bs that is designed to call out the scams and the fraud. It's saying if you've laid anybody off in the last year, you can't go down the road of H-1Bs. It's going down and saying you don't use a lottery system. You've got to put forward wage-based, skill-based programmatic needs so you can vet to say, wait a second. I get it if you're a hospital and you're going, gosh, we really need a heart surgeon. We don't have one. And there's this guy, one guy in pick your country abroad, and we want that guy here. Okay. I get it. I understand. It's like we have a need, a specific need we cannot fill locally. Okay. But that's not what they're doing. They're gaming and scamming the system, and they're doing it to get cheap labor, flooding the zone. And Sarah Gonzalez with The Blaze has done a lot of great reporting on this about what they've been doing in Dallas-Fort Worth. Now that we're cracking down on it a little bit, finally, housing prices are dropping down a little bit because we're pushing back on how many people have come to our country from all over the world, by the way, including Muslims, but also obviously a lot from India and Pakistan and from all over the world. So at the end of the day, I want people to hear this number. 53 million foreign-born people in the United States. 53 million, about 16%. That is the highest percentage in our nation's history. We need to pause immigration. We need to breathe. We need to reset our culture. We need to protect and put America first. That's the goal here with our legislation.
You know, Congressman, I've sort of had a front-row view to this. So we broadcast our national show from my hometown, which is Memphis, Tennessee, where the world headquarters of FedEx. And I'll never forget this. I was coming back from, I think, D.C. or New York, and it was on a Delta flight. And I was the only white guy on the flight. Everybody else was from India. And I'm like, oh, what's going on here? Started doing a little research, and we're talking about massive influxes, H-1B visa holders from India and other parts of the world into Memphis and to Collierville, one of the suburbs. And we started getting a lot of calls from people saying, what is going on here? Because it's literally changing the culture of our communities, the massive influx of these H-1B visa holders and their families.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is one of those things that I think goes to the core of what we were trying to uncover with the SPLC, what we're trying to highlight with all these groups. There's a concerted effort to destroy what is great and good about Western civilization. And I think we need to pause and remember that. I mean, you remember, Todd, when we were in school and prior years, your entire education curriculum was built around studying and, frankly, praising and elevating Western civilization.
That's right.
We should do that. And now we're doing the opposite. We're diminishing, demeaning, criticizing, ripping down, shredding educationally Western civilization, our Judeo-Christian principles upon which this nation were built. By the way, some of my Christian friends and Christian supporters and constituents out there go, why do you always say Judeo-Christian? Well, look, I believe we're a Christian nation. I'm a Christian. I believe that is the overwhelming dominant force that has made this country great. And I will not apologize for saying that to any of my brothers and sisters of any faith. But we are built on Judeo-Christian Western civilization. That is the roots of who we are. And we've got to be proud of that, defend it, and then call out the March of Islam for what it is, an attack on our way of life. They are at war with us. And just because they're not declaring war as like one nation state against the other doesn't mean it's not every bit as dangerous to our children and grandchildren's future. We didn't have men on the die on the Alamo or storm the beaches of Normandy or you know, otherwise fight, bleed, and die for this country just to turn it over quietly to Islamists who want to remake our country. It's insane.
Yeah, well said, well said. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Real quick, I would like to, if I could, get your take on this, the aftermath of this Carmelo Anthony verdict.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of ugliness out there. And quite frankly, I mean, Black Panthers, everybody say they got the guy chanting, the only good cracker is a dead cracker. What the heck is going on there?
Well, look, I mean, this is very clear what happened here. The kid is dead because this, you know, Carmelo Anthony stabbed him. I mean, that's what happened. I mean,
yeah.
So look, I'm a former prosecutor. What are you going to do? You got to prosecute the kid. He did it. And you know, people who don't like that say, oh, he didn't get a fair trial. We need a fair trial. I mean, like, there's not like they're disputing the facts. And this is one of those things that if we don't stand strong, you lose the rule of law. And so I applaud them for going after, prosecute him, getting conviction. We got to proceed. And the governor and the president, if necessary, obviously, if it becomes a federal issue, run out of state, the governor and local law enforcement, they got to keep the peace. They're going to have to hold the line. Justice has to be served or you lose your nation. And I believe that. I mean, I'm not one of these guys that thinks we need to start going soft on crime. It's the opposite. We've been doing that for too long. And that's why you have lawlessness on our streets. You know well in Memphis, Memphis has had extraordinary problems with that. You know, Dallas, Houston, we're having increasing crime in San Antonio and Austin because these DAs that are bought off by Soros-funded, you know, leftists. We got to get back to being right on, you know, putting people in jail who need to be in jail. So. Yeah,
well said. All right, Congressman, thank you. A lot to talk about, and we do appreciate the great work you're doing for America and for the American people. Good to see you, sir.
Thanks, Todd. God bless you.
All right. There you go, Congressman Chip Roy, everybody, standing up for the American workers. And not a lot of people are doing that, especially in the Republican Party. I hate to mention that, but it's true. So we appreciate the congressman doing that. All right, we're going to take a break here. And again, ladies and gentlemen, your calls on the Carmelo Anthony verdict. Do you believe it was fair? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, this segment of the program brought to you by our friends at Chapter. AskChapter.org. If you're turning 65, maybe you are already on Medicare, you could be overpaying right now, and you may not even know it. I want to tell you about Thomas. He did everything right. He did his research, thought he had a handle on his options, but his previous broker did not show him that plans that actually fit his life. But Chapter did. Thomas made one call, and his Chapter advisor compared every plan available, found a plan Thomas had never seen before, and turns out saved Thomas about $1,000 a year on his prescription. So God bless him for making that call. And this is why I am partnering with Chapter. Chapter's advisors are honest. They are not paid to push on anybody on any plan. They're the only Medicare advisor that compares every plan nationwide to tell you where you stand. In just one call, you're going to know exactly what you are entitled to. And if you're already on the right plan, you know, they're going to say, hey, look, you don't need to do anything. And if you're not, they're going to help you switch. A simple call with Chapter is free. It takes less than 20 minutes. If you're turning 65 or you're already on Medicare, I want you to go to this website, write it down, askchapter.org. That's askchapter.org/realhelp, and they're going to help you out. All right, let's go to the phones. John, listening to us in North Carolina. John, what's on your mind today?
I just wanted to talk about the verdict. Yeah, I do agree with it. They could have gave him a lot worse sentence, but they didn't. They showed leniency. So, I think it was a fair outcome.
What do you make of all of the noise out there outside of that courthouse and the anti-white rhetoric?
I just think that they're trying to do away with the facts that, you know, it was a bad incident, and I hate it for everyone, but, you know, they have a person that's deceased now, and he's not going to have a chance to fulfill his life. So, yeah, I think it's just something to take away from the noise of the case. So.
All right. John, it's a good thought, good word. Thank you for calling in today. Appreciate that. Dylan, we have some fan mail, and it's not very good. This is coming from Chandler Sprouse. So if you remember, I asked about James Tallarico, who said he was still trying to come to terms with his masculinity, and I just asked if he was wearing frilly underpants. Esquire magazine picked up on that, and now I'm getting hundreds of pieces of hate mail. This is coming from Mr. Sprouse, Chandler Sprouse. Dear Todd, I have stumbled across your unchristian and un-American rhetoric, and it has never bothered me much. However, what you have said about James Tallarico offends me. I am 57, but I've never heard a man speculate about another man wearing frilly underpants. Now, I think you should be your authentic self, and if you're interested in frilly underwear or curious about men who might wear such underwear, I support you. Be yourself. Wear your own frilly underwear if you like. I just spoke to a friend of mine who is gay. He does not wear frilly underpants. I mentioned your interest, and he said that you, Todd Stearns, and the gay community would be known as what is known as a marshmallow. chubby, pale, and apparently hairless. Oh, my. That's a little personal, if you ask me, but thank you for sending that, Chandler. Dylan, I...
He did his research there, it seems.
He did his research. Frilly underpants. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? All right, hour two of the big show coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, hello everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, hour two of the big show. We're watching, monitoring all the situations in the Middle East. President Trump now says that Iran is going to pay a price after they shot down an Apache helicopter. Look, here's the deal, folks, and I think we've really got to pay attention to all of this, but the reality of it is very clear to me now that this war is going to go on for a very long time. And it's beyond me why the administration has allowed this to drag on, ceasefire after ceasefire after ceasefire, and nothing ever happens. So unless the president is going to go in there and unleash the full force of the military, I just don't see an end to this. And it's a very troubling thing. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Dylan, I got a question for you. Have you ever thought about just, you know, living a nice, long life? You know, I know you're a young guy. You're in your 20s. You probably don't think about that. Those of us in our 50s, we kind of think about it.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. Occasionally.
You know, I mean, when you're in your 20s, you don't really think, oh, wow, you know, 50 years old is like that. That's like, you know, 70 years from now. That's.
Now, I feel like when you're younger, you don't think at all about getting old. And so, then now that I'm like 27, I'm like, oh man, I'm getting old.
So you feel that, right. But when you're, so I'm 58 and I've never felt 58, but I've never felt my age.
That is a really good sign.
And we were talking about this, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that our team is so young.
Yeah.
That, you know, you guys sort of keep me young, I guess.
You surround yourself with the ute.
Yeah. The ute of America. That's it. Yeah. It's the utefulness. But I tell you, I was looking in the mirror after the heart surgery. One day, I was just looking in the mirror, and it shocked me for a second because I looked old. And that was the first time I'd ever thought, geez-a-loo, I may be getting older. But then, I don't know, it may have been the drugs, because then I looked again, and I looked normal. Or maybe that was the normal, and I don't know.
What's real anymore? What's your reality? You're young at heart.
So I know when I need help, and so we found an expert on all of this to help me work through all of this. He's written an incredible book about it, too, called Authentic Longevity. Our next guest on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Dr. Mark Sherwood. He is a practitioner and co-founder of the Functional Medical Institute and the author of this great book, Authentic Longevity. And we have a mutual friend, Joe Battaglia, who put us together. Dr. Sherwood, what an honor to have you with us today.
Thanks, Todd. It's good to be with you, too. I've been looking forward to this.
All right. First of all, I think we need to establish what the term authentic longevity actually means.
Well, from our standpoint, it does not mean living just longer. It means living better. We've kind of coined the term increasing health span and decreasing sick span. I know you were talking just a moment ago about being in the 50s and your producer there being in the 20s. I mean, God bless his soul. That's really cool. But ultimately, it's living younger, older. It's living younger, more vibrant, and perhaps it's even dying younger, older.
It's an interesting topic because, again, I think a lot of people, and especially the older you get, you know, you start thinking, okay, it's not just about living a long life, but living a good life too, I have to imagine, and being a healthy person.
It really is. And when you look at this standpoint from living older, I believe our expectations in America are a little bit off. You know, we've kind of set the tone that we're supposed to live to about 80. But you look at history and you look at even biblical literature, in both of those contexts, you come up with a whole different expectation level, probably somewhere around 120 is the oldest person that's ever lived. By at least modern day records, is 122. And we have many, many centenarians living right now, the majority of which live in the country Japan, as well as the majority of super centenarians, which are 110 and greater, living in the country of Japan as well. So we have got to do things better, but it starts with also probably changing our expectations somewhat.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, when you get up in the morning, we look at ourselves and we might say, as you just said, I'm feeling and looking older. Perhaps we need to consider switching that around. Instead of saying I'm feeling and looking older, say I'm feeling and looking better, and then put those practices into our daily lives. In that book, Authentic Longevity, we went through all of the common sense things we can do, from nutrition, sleep, stress management, movement, understanding genetics, understanding the role that hormones may play, the role that peptides may play, the role that supplementation may play. When we talk about the mindset, the spiritual, emotional, intellectual, even financial mindset, all of that matters in the scope of being a human. And all of those things can create stress, and all those things can shorten your life, and all those things can also be tools of blessings in your life.
You know, I'm curious, Dr. Mark, and we have Dr. Mark Sherwood with us, who's author of this terrific book, Authentic Longevity, and my good friend Joe Battaglia out of Nashville. And Joe has written a number of great books, and he's just a dear friend. And I think he saw what I was going through, and he was like, you need to talk to Dr. Sherwood. Get him on the show. I'm wondering, Dr. Mark, if faith, if Christianity, I'm a person who goes to church, does that play into having that longevity and having that that good kind of a life?
It does. It is said, and I think we all agree with this, you become like the five people you hang around the most. And so you want to hang around people that think a little bit different than our culture. My wife and I, Dr. Michelle, started the Functional Medical Institute with this dream and goal of creating a new paradigm and a new community of people that thought different, act different, live different, look different, were different. Because we realize that what we're doing as a nation is just simply not working. You know, you mentioned a moment ago in the pre-commentary about the Iran conflict that didn't seem like there's no end to that thing. And I'm totally on the same page with you. But at the same time, with our health trends today, Todd, they are the worst they've ever been in the history of mankind's existence. We've never been this more unhealthy than we are right now. And we've got to wake up, get our eyes open, realize that this is reality and there's a lot we can do about this. It has to be changed or else.
I want to, we don't have a lot of time, but and we definitely want to get you back on because I think a lot of our listeners are going to have questions about this. One of the things that you guys talk about are these evidence-based aging hacks, things that actually work. For me, I have a makeup artist who puts bronzer number 9 on, so I look, you know, presentable for TV. The problem is when I go to church on Sunday, people say I look pale and sickly. So I just, what are some good aging hacks that you guys might recommend, that you might recommend?
Yeah, just a few real quick. Going to bed 30 minutes earlier would be a good thing. Getting up the same time of day is a good thing. Walking around the block a couple of times every single day, post-meal, post-evening meal is a good thing. Getting out in sunshine about 20 minutes every day is a good thing. Drinking enough sufficient water, for us, is between 60 and 80 ounces per day. Taking vitamin D, 5,000 international units a day. Taking omega-3, probably 3,000 milligrams or 3 grams a day. Those are just very, very basic things that every single person can do. And I think one thing to avoid is avoid the foods that create disease. And so I facetiously say, you know, anything the government subsidizes, breads, grains, corn, soy, dairy, and sugar, don't eat those things to really grab some health.
Wow. I did not realize that. I had been cutting back. I am, you know, on a diet and losing weight and all that kind of good stuff. And I've been steering clear of all of that. What about breads and things that you would, you know, if you do crave that, would you recommend any particular recommendations that would be good, healthy breads to eat?
Yes, you want to go to material that looks like bread but is not bread, such as there's cauliflower wraps, tortillas, and things like that you could really have in an unlimited capacity. There's also a recipe out there online. People can pull it up. It's called cloud bread. It's made from egg whites and some coconut flour, some almond flour. Those are amazing products that you can have in an unlimited capacity that don't create the dastardly, devastating effects of the processed grains that we have today.
Can I still drink a Dr. Pepper every now and again? Is that permissible?
I've got a little hack for you on that one, too. Move into the carbonated flavored waters that are out there. Those are a great transition in regard to moving from carbonated sodas to that.
Oh, this is amazing stuff. Dr. Mark Sherwood, everybody, author of Authentic Longevity. And Dr. Mark, we're going to get you on for a longer segment so we can talk more about this. And I am really intrigued because we want people to live long lives and we want to live happy lives too. And I love what you guys are doing. Where can people go if they want to get a copy of the book or maybe get more information about you and Dr. Michelle? Where can they go to get that information?
Super easy. They can go to functionaldr.com. Just the word functionaldr.com. That's our global website and all kinds of free stuff out there for you, including our books.
All right, one final question here, and if somebody in our audience can just implement one change today to improve their health trajectory, what would that be?
The first meal of the day, you want to make sure that you have perhaps some eggs and an omelet and avoid the things we talked about. So healthy first meal is the best change to make that people can do right now.
All right, good stuff. Dr. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to getting you back on very soon.
Sounds great. Hope you have a great day.
All right, you too. Well, there you go. Dylan, I'm willing to try some of this, but I got to have my Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, you got to have something on the side.
I got to have a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
I'll do an extra lap around the block.
Have you tried the cauliflower solution?
Yeah, that's not going to go either.
Yeah, I would rather just cut it out, honestly.
Me too. Yeah. What was it? Was it Chick-fil-A? Remember when they did the fried cauliflower?
Yeah, they tried to make it look like the chicken patty, and then you bite into it, and it's just like, well, that's not even close.
I know. I was at a Chick-fil-A, I won't say where, and I saw a sweet grandma, and I guess she accidentally ordered that. You could tell she was a religious woman. She had the cross. She had a little Bible there, you know. And she took one bite and just, I mean, I'm watching this, you know, just this happen right there in the restaurant. And all of a sudden, I rebuke you. I rebuke you, chicken sandwich, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, cauliflower patty's not very godly.
She called it demon chicken.
Yeah.
And it was cauliflower.
Yep.
It was.
It adds up.
Yeah, it does. I mean, so I'm thinking, I'm going through my checklist here. I'm like, yeah, I can do that, but I'm not doing that. And the almond milk, that's just weird. I mean, I know how you milk a cow. How do you milk an almond? It's kind of like, they have like little udders?
It's kind of like the grape smashing.
The grape smashing.
I only drink almond milk in coffee. I don't straight up drink it like
a
psychopath.
Is that right? Does it taste like an Almond Joy like candy bar or something? What does it taste like?
It just tastes like milk.
Really?
I mean, I don't know.
You see, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Okay.
From a nut.
Yes. And that'd be oats. What is it? Oat milk? Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. That's what God gave us cows for.
Yes.
Otherwise, why do they need the udders? Right?
That's the way
I look at it. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines. Got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I do like this idea, though. Start your day with a good breakfast. That's a terrific idea. And make sure you're eating healthy. Good stuff. Very practical stuff as well. Dr. Mark Sherwood. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break. All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's go right to the phones, 901-260-5926. Bill in High Point, North Carolina, on the line. Hi, Bill. What's going on? What's on your mind today?
Well, Todd, I mean, I'm not an attorney, but I have done my tour of duty in the scheme of things about being selected for a jury, all right? if I understand correctly, the prosecution and the defense have the same opportunity to question and interview possible jurors, and then they select those jurors for the trial. So if there's a problem with the quote-unquote whiteness of this jury for Carmelo Anthony trial, I think there should be some fingers pointed back at the defense attorneys for maybe not doing their job to get whom they actually wanted on the jury for a quote-unquote fair trial.
Yeah, Bill, look, I think you're spot on there in your analysis, and you're right. The defense could have raised objections, you know, at the time if there were objections. I suspect they did not, because this case was pretty much, I mean, it is what it is. I think everybody knew the outcome here, and I think even the defense did, and that's why they didn't object, so at least they could turn right back around and say, well, we're blaming this on the all-white jury.
Right. Well, I just wanted to make sure that everybody kind of has a better understanding of that. If, you know, both sides had the equal opportunity, and then it wasn't a partisan thing that one side would be able to select only the jurors to be pulled for that jury. But
yeah.
Oh, and I have one other quick thing for you. Always remember, Todd, when you're drinking your Dr. Pepper, 10, 2, and 4.
What is that now? I'm missing what you said.
All right. Oh, if you look on an old Dr. Pepper bottle,
okay,
it shows a mark at 10, a mark at 2, and a mark at 4.
What does that mean?
You have a Dr. Pepper at your 10 o'clock break in the morning.
Oh.
You have a Dr. Pepper at 2 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And then when you're done at work at 4, you have enough.
I love this idea. You know, Bill, it's interesting. They did an interview with a lady who was like over 100 and something years old, and they asked her, what's the secret? And they said she drinks 3 Dr. Peppers a day. And that's where she got that from.
Well, if you'll Google it, you'll get a little bit further into that rabbit hole, Todd. But I just thought I'd throw that out there,
Bill,
for you as just a final comment.
I love that. I'm going down that rabbit hole, Bill. Thank you for that. We got to research this, Dylan. This makes all the sense.
You're going to hold on to that forever, aren't you?
Absolutely.
That one lady.
Look, because she said, and the reporter said, well, what did your doctors tell you? And she said, well, my doctors are all dead.
Yep.
You know, they said. By the way, Paul Shanklin and the lovely Mrs. Shanklin. Mrs. Shanklin says, don't knock cauliflower. It's good for you. Well, it's good for potholes and packaging.
It is good for you, but it doesn't taste good. I mean, you could probably put some unhealthy mm-hmm. things in it to make it taste yeah. better.
She says, start the day with protein, especially if you have a sugar problem. Otherwise, you feel like crap for the whole day.
That's true.
Yeah, yes, this is good. Oh, by the way, and again, 10, 2, and 4 are also the session times in Nashville. So, yeah, he's right. So thank you, Bill. Appreciate that for the intel. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So in between commercial breaks, I've been working on, they're getting ready to launch the book press release, and we're doing all sorts of prep work. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, is going to be in bookstores around the nation. We understand Barnes & Noble is very excited about the advance orders already, so you keep those coming in. But anyway, I'm working in between commercial breaks on the 10 questions that we want interviewers to ask during the interviews. And that has been a lot of fun. So I'm trying to stump myself in these questions. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. I want you to get a copy of this. Pre-order it right now. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, also Books A Million, Walmart, and Target. So wherever you can get the book, pre-order it right now. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Todd, good day to you. I've got a solution for you, my friend. You take a tall glass, you fill it full of ice, you pour your Dr. Pepper. I don't know how you can do Dr. Pepper, but I do this with cream soda. and you fill it up to the top, and then you walk away for a couple hours, let that ice melt down, and then you got water that tastes like what you want to drink. Take care, guy.
All right. Well, that's Ed from Texas. What's the point, Telly? So now you're just wasting a Dr. Pepper.
That's not how that works.
No, I don't think it is. I don't know the science behind it all, but I don't think that's the way that...
He seems like a pretty creative guy.
I like Ed.
I like that.
By the way, nothing wrong with the cream soda.
Oh, no. Not at all.
My good. There is a... have you ever had... is it Boylan? I think it's B-O-Y-L-I-N, the sodas.
I don't think so.
Man, you got to try them. They come in the bottles. A little pricey, but man, fine soda, cream soda.
Soda in the bottle tastes better. I'll die on that hill.
Nothing better than an ice cold Coca-Cola out of a machine. Ooh. Right? You know, one of the glass bottle machines?
Yeah, the Mexican Cokes.
Ooh.
Very good.
That's the only thing I appreciate south of the border. The Mexican Cokes.
That's fair.
Let's go to Don in Texas, Patriot Talk 920, our terrific affiliate there. Hi, Don. What's on your mind today?
Well, I got a couple of things, but first thing I'm going to touch is the Dr. Pepper. I'm a lot older than you, and back when Dr. Pepper first came out, their ad campaign was 10, 2, and 4. That's what they were advertising. Drink a Dr. Pepper at 10, 2, and 4. So that's an old, old advertising campaign. Now, the things I wanted to talk to you about was...
Well, hold on a second here. Hold on a second, yeah. Because I have a lot of questions about that. We're going to get to what you're talking about. But so I didn't realize this, but Dr. Pepper is actually older than Coca-Cola and Pepsi. So it's been around for a very long time.
Dr. Pepper was originated in Waco, Texas. And if you go to Waco, Texas today, you can go and get the original... Dr. Pepper, which was made with sugar. It wasn't made with anything else. It was a sugar. And you can buy the original, which came made with sugar. And they sell it right there, the original.
Is that Dr. right?
Pepper. Yeah, they have a museum there, a Dr. Pepper museum in Waco, Texas.
You see, the only thing people know about Waco is Chip and Joanna Gaines. But the real reason to go to Waco is to go to the Dr. Pepper Museum.
That's the only, no, there's other things to see there. I've been there a lot. But anyway, moving on, yeah, that's the Dr. Pepper Museum is there, and it's a great place to go and visit. And if you ever get a chance, go, because it's very interesting.
You know what's interesting? A lot of people thought back in the, is this true? I don't know if you can, this may be an old wives' tale, but the rumor was that there was prune juice in Dr. Pepper. But that actually was started as a joke by Bob Hope, and people took it to be like, oh, my gosh, you know, there's – but I don't care because it tastes good, and if that's prune juice, then give me some more prune juice.
Well, I'm going to tell you a true story about my dad, and I was a very young boy at the time, but we went in, and we both got a cola, and he got a Dr. Pepper, and I got one of the little grapettes. I don't know whether you remember those or not. They came in a odd-shaped bottle, let's put it that way. And my dad took one drink of that Dr. Pepper, which he'd never had before, and he said, I'm not drinking this prune juice. And that's a true story.
Wow. Well, you know, it's interesting. The history, a lot of people think that it was, you know, that a physician actually created the drink, but it was really a drugstore owner. And as the story I was told, and clearly, Don, you're the Dr. Pepper historian of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We're giving you a battlefield promotion here. My understanding it was named after a doctor because the drugstore owner was trying to woo. He was trying to court the doctor's daughter, so he figured naming the drink after her father would actually work, and unfortunately it never did, but you know, he became very famous as a result of it all.
Well, I have no documentation on that, but I believe you're right. I cannot validate what you say, but I believe that you are right.
All right, Dr. Charles T. Pepper, that's who it was named after. There you go. Don, what did you call to talk about?
Okay, what I called to talk about is the Republican Party has, keeps sending me mail. And I keep sending the mail back, and I say, look, I'm not going to contribute any more to the Republican Party until they actually do something. And they just, they ignore it. Now, how do I get to the, you have a better connection with getting to somebody than I do, obviously. All I can do is write a letter or send an email. But it doesn't seem to have any effect. They just ignore it. Now, I understand when you write to a representative or anything like that, they got a lot of stuff going on. They do not read every piece of mail. They have somebody there that reads their mail and then passes on to them what they think could be handled by them. But how do the people out here, just common people like myself, get somebody to take notice of what we're saying? There's a lot of people saying what I'm saying right now, but it doesn't seem to be registered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm one of them, too, Don. And I think one of the ways you can send a message and be very polite and kind about it is to stop sending them money. That's what I did. And, you know, I have given a lot of money to the Republican Party over the years, and I stopped doing that because I realized they weren't really doing anything. So one of the ways you can, what I would recommend you do, Don, is not only do you stop giving, but you go to one of the Republican meetings locally, and you explain why. And you also reach out. You can also reach out to your state director. Many states, including Texas. I know you guys have a big convention coming up, because our friends at Patriot Talk 920 are actually broadcasting from the Texas Republican Convention meeting. I would reach out to your state executive committee, Don, and I'm sure all of that information is online, or somebody can certainly help you find that information. But I would reach out to them, and I would share exactly what you shared with me. I would suggest that you share it with them as well, because at the end of the day, if they don't listen to common sense, they will listen when the money dries up.
I've already stopped sending them money, and I've told them that, but they still keep sending me mail.
Yeah, geez, it's kind of like the NRA. If now, they would just stop sending all that mail, you know, they'd be able to balance their budget. All right, go ahead there. Go ahead, Don. One final thought. Yeah.
Yeah, one final thought. Why has not AOC been prosecuted for some of the crimes she does? Who is in charge of that?
Well, if in fact crimes were committed, that, you know, the law enforcement would have to get involved. But when it comes to ethics and things like that, well, that's the House of Representatives. They have an ethics committee, and she can be brought forward on, you know, on those, you know, charges if there were charges filed. I haven't been paying that much attention to AOC lately. But then again, when you look at the Democrat Party, I mean, whatever she did certainly pales in comparison to what Graham Plantner has done, who is now, I guess that is the benchmark for what it means to be a Democrat. Don, thank you for the call. Appreciate you, and thank you for the Dr. Pepper history. I'm calling an audible right now. We're going to do a Dr. Pepper trivia question as we go to break, and here is the question. This is a good one. Does Dr. Pepper have a period in its name? 901-260-5926. There's a two-parter here. 901-260-5926. We're going to give you, you're going to have to wait a little while, but you're going to be getting a signed copy of my brand new book, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, and let's go real quick to the phone lines. Beautiful Hernando, Mississippi. Claudia, listening to us on KWAM Radio. Claudia, I hope you're doing well today.
I am doing well today. It's just very, very hot.
It's 300 degrees outside, Claudia. Just crank up the AC. That's all I can tell you. Put a few extra ice cubes in the Dr. Pepper.
Right.
All right, Claudia, we're going to try to win you a prize here. The question regarding Dr. Pepper, what does Dr. Pepper have a period or no period? What say you?
Okay, I say no.
Wow, that was pretty simple. Claudia, you are correct. It turns out that it turns out that Dr. Pepper does not have a period. By the way, do you know why Dr. Pepper does not have a period, Claudia?
No, I do not.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you're still going to win, but I am going to tell you. It turns out, so if you're at trivia night at church, you know, you'll be able to share this knowledge with folks. It turns out, Claudia, that they changed the font of the lettering of Dr. Pepper, and the period confused people, so they just got rid of it.
Okay, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That the more you know, Claudia, the more you know. By the way, may I brag on your beautiful town for a minute? Is that okay?
That is fine.
Claudia, you have one of the finest farmers markets on Saturday in the entire Mid-South area. Love that farmers market.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
It's wonderful. I get all my, you know, those Mississippi red tomatoes. You got to have a big tomato sandwich. Can't wait for the tomatoes to be ready, Claudia.
That's right. And I want to tell you something. I enjoy your show very much, and I listen as often as I can. Well, and I am a big President Trump fan.
Well, I am so happy to hear that. And Claudia, thank you for listening to the show. We're going to put you on hold because you just want a signed copy of my brand new book coming out called The Golden Age. Speaking of books, ladies and gentlemen, one of the most important books you need to read, number one is The Golden Age, but the second one, a close second, is called Founded on Faith, America's Christian Heritage and the Faith We Must Pass On. It is a terrific book. Our good friend, Dr. Paul Chappell, the senior pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church, president of West Coast Baptist College, joins us. Dr. Chappell, hope you're doing well today.
Doing great, Todd. Great to hear your voice.
Well, I'm glad my book comes out after yours. I just don't want to be bumped off the bestsellers list by Dr. Chappell, but
either way that would happen would be great, but I'd be happy to move aside for you.
No. Dr. Chappell, I love this book and I've read it, and what I love about it is it's a pretty quick read, but there's so much information about America's Christian heritage. I'm just curious, why did you decide to tackle this particular subject?
Well, as we look at the 250th anniversary of our nation's birth, we must look at what preceded those great events, our Declaration of Independence. And when you study the 1730s and 1740s, you find this one particular individual, George Whitefield, traveling up and down the country relentlessly from Georgia to New England, preaching, and it became such a season of revival that people would take time off of work to go to services and prayer meetings, and the emphasis of the book is showing that all of that revival was really just breaking up the fallow ground of a nation, preparing our nation to place within our sacred documents references to God's providence, to him as our creator, and really preparing for the birth of a Christian nation.
I'm curious, in your research, because so many people are like, well, America's a secular nation, you know, it can't be a Christian nation. What did you come away with as you were researching the book?
I came away with the fact that our founders, such as Roger Williams in Rhode Island, had tolerance for other faiths. The Baptist in particular believed in individual soul liberty, but they were unashamedly Christian. Whether you go to Patrick Henry and read his will, where he left his items to his children, but he said, of all things, I leave to you my faith in Jesus Christ, or John Adams, our second president, who said the Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It goes on and on when we see even George Washington kneeling in prayer at Valley Forge. We're reminded that this is the faith of our fathers. And if anyone has further questions, just go to a national cemetery and tell me what you see. And you're going to see thousands of crosses. And thank God, you're going to see some Stars of David and other symbolism. We thank God for every patriot who loves and serves this country. But we live in a nation that was founded by Christian men and women who wanted something very distinct. They wanted freedom to worship as they pleased.
You, the other part of your title, The Faith We Must Pass On, and I don't know if we've done a really good job of that in this country, you know, telling these stories about the great patriots of old and what really compelled them to take a stand and create this great nation of ours.
Well, I believe our founders wanted to pass it on. There was a study done at the University of Houston that found 34% of all quotations from the founders was directly from the Bible. However, in recent days, we have seen the attacks, whether Madeleine Murray O'Hare attacking the presence of the Ten Commandments and prayer and all of these battles against our faith. And the way to pass it on is, number one, we need to have pastors that stand courageously and preach truth, and then believers that contend for the faith and stand up for what our founders purposed. And so I truly believe it begins in the home and then to the church and then to the society from there.
Dr. Paul Chappell joining us, the pastor of the First Baptist Church. I had Dr. Jeffress on my mind, Dr. Chappell.
That's okay. That's a compliment.
Lancaster Baptist Church. I have to tell you, I met an interesting character yesterday. I was invited to speak at a Republican women's gathering here in the Memphis area. And Butch Wilmore, you know, the astronaut who got stuck in space, remember that guy?
Yes. Yeah.
And he is a fellow believer. He and his wife just moved to Houston, and they're Reformed Baptist. And I said, so where does that fall between, like, the foot washing and the, you know, independent Baptist? And there are a mess of Baptists out there.
There are a lot of different types of Baptists, and I just pray that most of them are preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's the greatest need of the hour.
It certainly is. And Dr. Chappell, we just thank you so much for the great work you're doing. And West Coast Baptist College, we just love the school, and the church is just an amazing place. PaulChappell.com, ladies and gentlemen, is the website, and go, and you'll be able to get the book. Really, is this true, Dr. Chappell? You can get it wherever books are sold.
That's right. They can go to Amazon. They can go to Striving Together Publications or paulchappell.com.
All right. Well, Dr. Chappell, looking forward. I'm actually coming up in a couple of weeks. I'll have to text you, but I'm going to try to swing up to Lancaster while I'm there.
Well, we'll look forward to trying to get our best barbecue ready for you.
Better throw in a salad while you're at it, Dr. Chappell.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out.
I'm in the wilderness. I'm in the wilderness, yeah, Pastor.
We understand. We'll get a good salad going.
All right. Dr. Paul Chappell, everybody. By the way, his wife, one of the best cooks in America. I'm telling you, amazing. All right. We got to take a quick break here, everybody. 901-260-5926. We're going to New York State coming up. We're going to be talking about gestating parents. Well, so much for your lunch appetite. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Hour 3 of the big show. We have got a lot going on this hour of the program. By the way, every Wednesday, we invite our friends from Strategic Financial Partners on to answer your financial questions. And Dylan, I know you're chomping at the bit because you've got a question to ask the guys this week.
Yeah, I am very anticipating his answer for us because it's huge.
All right, so and it involves Elon Musk. Is that right?
Yes, indeed.
We don't want to give it away.
No, I'll save it.
We'll have to wait. All right, so that's coming up a little bit later. But if you have a question for our financial guys, you can either call in and ask your question on air, or you can just call the lovely Miss Helen, and she will be more than happy to write down your question, and we will ask that question. 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. President Trump, by the way, saying that we will hit Iran hard again today as the war continues in the Middle East. By the way, this segment of the Todd Starnes Show brought to you by our friends at Newsmax TV. 70 million Americans collecting Social Security benefits, and many of you are not getting the full benefits you deserve. Well, Newsmax and Social Security expert Michael Allen say they have five key strategies to increase your benefits by as much as $188,000. It's all in a free special report. All you have to do, whether you're getting benefits or soon will, is pick up your phone and call this number. You can write it down, 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. And we will text you all of the information right away, free of charge. 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. There's a crazy story out of New York State. And this one is just bonkers, mind-blowing. And I brought it to you when the story first broke, that Democrats in New York State wanted to remove the term mother and father from a number of official government documents and remove all gendered language and replace it with words like gestating and non-gestating parents. Well, fortunately, there are still some good conservatives, rock-solid Republicans in New York State that are willing to push back and fight back against this nonsense. And one of them joins us right now, State Senator Patricia Canzonieri Fitzpatrick from the great state of New York. Senator, good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So I'm just curious. I want to hear your, when you first heard about this whole gestating versus non-gestating parents, what went through your mind?
Well, in the throes of passing a budget of $268 billion, that we are worried about some nonsense about being all-inclusive to people that refer to themselves as gestationing parents and non-gestationing. Is this truly what New Yorkers see at the top of their list and their priority? Never mind homelessness, never mind food insecurity, never mind the ever-increasing utility crisis that we have in New York State. This is what my colleagues across the aisle thought was deserving of time and a vote in the last days of session when we are trying desperately to get things that truly matter through. This is their priority, and I think they're misguided, and I think it's not truly what New Yorkers want. It's certainly not what the people I represent want.
You know, and again, there are a lot of problems in New York State, most of them in New York City proper. Of all the issues, why they would be so focused on something like this makes absolutely no sense. And again, Senator, it might be helpful just to explain to people. I lived and worked in New York City for 15 years, but a lot of folks who've never been to New York State, they sort of think the rest of the state is like Manhattan, and that is just simply not the case, is it?
No, I will tell you that there are senators that I work with that represent seven counties upstate because there's not enough of a population to get to 330,000 people. We have the largest agricultural production of many, many states in our area. We have a very vibrant farm bureau. We have lovely beaches and coastline along Long Island where I represent, but there is a vast difference and lots of different types of counties, but Manhattan is certainly just a small piece of it. Population-wise, I will tell you that the five boroughs in Manhattan do dictate a lot of what goes on in Albany, and that's the problem, is that they're dictating an agenda that they see as responsive to their constituents, but many of the people throughout the state don't agree with that.
I want to play some audio for you. This is Mayor Zohran Mamdani hosting a pride party yesterday at New York City Hall, and he announced a massive investment in gender-affirming care. Let's play cut 33 for the senator, please.
Can y'all hear me all right? Y'all hear me all right? Y'all hear me all right? I'm Peppermint, and I am so excited to be here for Mayor Mamdani's very first ever New York City Pride celebration as mayor!
Happy Pride, everyone! As a first step, my administration has made a $15 million investment in gender-affirming care over the next 2 years. And we will continue to use every tool at our disposal to ensure that trans and gender non-conforming New Yorkers can live with dignity, safety, and freedom they deserve.
All right, Senator, I thought New York City was really going through a financial crisis, and here they are spending $15 million for gender-affirming care.
Well, you certainly hit the nail on the head there, because we are dealing with a bailout of New York City. And the mayor turned around and told us that he had a $12 billion deficit and they needed help from New York State. And now this is what he chooses to do with the money that the governor has promised him. It's irresponsible. It's financially reckless. And it is misguided, in my opinion, because if you truly have a housing crisis and food insecurity, as I mentioned before, those things should take priority.
Senator, I'm just curious about what it's like and what the Republican party situation there is in New York State, the conservative movement. You have been really at the forefront taking so many bold positions, and I just have great respect for you. I know St. John University, when they tried to ban the TPUSA club, you're one of the first people to speak out. What is it like being a conservative in New York State right now?
Challenging is one word. Definitely in the minority in Albany. I do feel that it is my duty, my obligation, and a privilege to speak out for the things that I'm hearing in my district. And I will tell you that many people constantly say thank you for fighting against what is going on. Because just as one example, my colleagues on the other side of the aisle constantly say that they would never support voter ID, yet we know from a Siena poll that at least 70% of New Yorkers support it. So my colleagues on the other side of the aisle choose to buck what their constituents want. And they vote the way they think and not the way their constituents are advocating for. And that is troubling, which is why I continue to go to Albany and fight for these different issues that come up. And one of these, you know, I understand that the new generation wants to be all inclusive and accept everybody. But you've now just diminished my desire to be called a mother. I'm a mom of four and very proud of it. My family is the bedrock of why I do this. How can you take away my right to be called a mother and now say that you want to be all inclusive? Well, you just excluded me.
It's a great point, and it's a common sense point. But also, one of the other things about New York State, I mean, it is a religious state. I happen to be a Baptist. You know, I'm a Protestant, but the Catholic Church has pretty much spoken out on this, and it flies in the face of quite frankly, the religion and the religious beliefs of an overwhelming majority of New Yorkers.
I couldn't agree with you more. We say all the time that faith is the bedrock of why this country was founded. The right to practice your religion. God is in every document. It's on our dollar bills. It is a bedrock of why America was founded. And to abandon the Judeo-Christian principles that was why America is so great, you're taking a dangerous turn, abandoning and turning your back on the things that this country was built on. And I, for one, strongly disagree with it. Regardless of what your faith is, I am a Catholic, a devout Catholic, and I do think that faith and family is what we need to continue to bring to our country for its success.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Senator, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for fighting the good fight. What a great role model you are for so many young conservative people there, not just in New York State, but really around the country as well. God bless you. Let us know what we can do to help out.
Thank you so much, Todd. God bless.
All right. There you go. Senator Canzoneri Fitzpatrick out of New York. And I love having these kinds of conversations, everybody, because, you know, a lot of folks think, oh, well, New York is just a bunch of liberals. No, they're not. As a matter of fact, when you just drive out of New York City, you may as well be in like Alabama. People are driving pickup trucks and have shotguns and farms and they talk funny, but no, they're good people is what I'm trying to tell you. All right. We've got to take a break here. And again, if you have a financial question that you would like to ask our guys, give us a call. If you don't want to go on air, that's okay. You can call and we'll take your question and ask it on your behalf. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Honored to have you with us today. Want to play some audio, this coming again from Dominique Alexander, who is the spokesman for Carmelo Anthony's family, talking about the verdict and the aftermath. Cut 27, please.
It lets us know that we are not going to be afforded the same laws as anybody else. And I give a damn about nobody that feels like I'm playing the race card here. For 400 years, our people have been at the liberty and have had to suffer at the liberty of these laws.
Yes.
I'm speaking facts because that blood of slavery is in my blood, not
for
yours. And it's not for you to look at me and say, I'm playing the race card. I'm just a black man living in America. The fact supports that.
Yeah.
You say I'm upset? Hell yeah, I'm upset. I respected this process, but we're going to fight like hell to make sure that Collin County know that Carmelo Anthony is not going to go away.
And we behind you.
I want to thank all of the people who traveled across this country.
He almost done.
To all of the media's community supporters and people who have taken Carmelo Anthony as their own baby.
All right, there you go. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's a bad situation. Look, I think there are going to be riots over this? I don't think so, because I'd like to think that maybe perhaps the average black person in America would see this for what it really is. But, you know, with these professional race agitators, they get out there and it's just nonstop. You know, they're wanting people. They're wanting people to rise up. Here's Dallas attorney Thelma Anderson, cut 24.
First and foremost, the one thing that I would ask for people to do at this moment is pray for the Anthony family, because they have been legally lynched for the last year. And more so by this slaughterhouse of a courthouse, as well as the family of the Metcalfs. So the energy right now is very white supremacy. They have shown up to be the pigs that they display with hate. They are celebrating the loss of life and the loss of freedom. So that's the energy. We have a devastated family who didn't know that they was going to have to let their son go back into a holdover, because we have an overzealous prosecutor who lied throughout this trial, who put on liars as witnesses in order to be a saving grace for the white community so that they can win an election. That's what it feels like right now. What I heard from this man today is indicative of why it's important that it's people that look like us that are in courtrooms like that. This man disregarded human life the entire trial. He invoked race. He equated Dallas County as being the ghetto opposed to Frisco being safe. They propagandized a photo of the deceased with black people around praying, saying this is community. They used us as a prop in order to pitch their lynching. This man has been known to be an overzealous prosecutor when it comes to us. He see us as what was the statement that free labor. That's what he see us as. So I'm not surprised that this prosecutor, who has unethical background, would get up there and ask for the max when he know that this was self-defense.
Well, there you have it. And again, the point of this is an educated woman here out there saying, what is it, legally lynched, called the white people pigs. And that's not, I mean, when you look at all the other things, I mean, there's so much audio that we could have played, but we can't play much of the language on air. And it's, folks, this is a dangerous time in America, and we have got to step back from the abyss here. I will say that, quite frankly, it is a more than fair verdict. 35 years, he killed a kid in cold blood. And by the way, a lot of the eyewitnesses that testified in this trial happened to be black teenagers who were open and honest and shared exactly what they saw and said exactly this is how it went down. My question to you is, do you believe this is a fair verdict? Are you satisfied with what happened there in Frisco, Texas? But they're really trying here to make this some sort of a national George Floyd, Trayvon Martin moment, when in fact it's not. And no, it's not about race, but it is about race, because the other side always makes it about race, and therefore you cannot back down, you cannot shirk your responsibility. As difficult as those conversations are, you still have to have those conversations. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want you to go to the website during the break. I've written an essay about this. We've included a lot of the videos, so you can just see it for yourself. If you think we're over-exaggerating the level of vitriol, just watch the videos for yourself. We've got all of that information for you compiled at toddstearns.com. All right, hang tight. Strategic Financial Partners on the way. Give us a call if you've got a money question, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's just go to the phones real quick here. Mike in Clear Lake City, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920, wants to weigh in on the Carmelo Anthony. Mike, what's your take on all of that?
Well, I look at it, the Rick Chow, the gas station owner, week before last, he went through the ringer because he killed a black kid over a bottle of water. They were having a conniption fit over that. Well, Austin Metcalf got killed over a push. Just, it never ceases to amaze me how the narrative and the victim and the perpetrator, it all changes based on what side of the fence a certain race is on.
It's, you know, that it's an excellent point. And I mean, what should have been, I mean, at the very worst, a fight or just a push back and forth, it was, the response was way out of line. And I think the prosecution made that point very clearly. And again, they saw a lot of things that we have not seen, including the actual video. And I think that was, whatever was in that video was damning enough to lead them to unanimously find this guy guilty.
Well, I went to a racially mixed school system, high school. It was broke down maybe 50% white, 40% black, 10% brown. And there was racial tension all the time. And we just fought, and we fought. And then it was over, and everything was cool. Nobody ever pulled a knife or a gun or ganged up on anybody. It's a different day and a different time now.
Well, it certainly is, Mike, and well said and well stated. Thank you for calling in. By the way, last night in Memphis, one of the craziest stories, and I actually love this story, two construction workers, they're trying to make it, they're working on a house in a rough neighborhood. Teenager comes up and points a gun at the back of one of the guy's heads and said, give me your keys. The guy turns around, grabs the kid's gun. The other construction worker jumps in. They literally tie the bad guy, the 18-year-old, to a post on the front porch and called the cops. And the neighbors were so excited, and they said, hey, look, the construction worker's giving them a big shout out, because they said they did the work so the cops didn't have to. So good job. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I love this time of the week. Every Wednesday Adam Martin, who is a financial advisor for Strategic Financial Partners, drops by. And even though it's like 320 degrees outside, Adam, good to see you today.
It's good seeing you, too. I'm assuming that kid lost all of his street cred once he got tied to a post.
That's kind of embarrassing. Then the neighbors are driving by, you know. It's good for those guys.
No doubt.
Good for those guys. StrategicFinancialPartners.com. Our telephone number, 901-260-2. I'm sorry, that's your number. We'll give out your number in a moment. But if you have a question, 901-260-5926. Dylan, what's our telephone number?
That's it. You okay, got it. 260-5926.
It's been one of those days.
Yeah, it is.
So, Adam, we want to start with Dylan, who actually has a financial question. I'm very excited about this.
Okay, hit me with it.
Yeah. So I'm very new to the stock market. Some would say a novice. I haven't invested at all. And so coming up on this Friday, we have possibly one of the biggest IPOs in history with SpaceX. They're pricing it at $135 a share, aiming for, you know, a massive valuation of $1.77 trillion. I want to know, is this something that everyday investors should be excited about jumping into, or should we be more cautious about it on IPO, like when it opens?
That's a fantastic question, and I'm going to start by saying this is not any kind of recommendation, and I want to put my advisor cap on here and say, the future is artificial intelligence. You know, we know that. We know we're at the infant stages of it. What I would say is proceed with caution at the IPO. Reason being, we make recommendations based off of historical performance. That's what we look at, price to earnings. We look at profitability. We don't know what SpaceX is going to be able to generate in the way of profits or revenue. So buying at the IPO, it's a bit of a gamble. Even though we know that the AI is going to be the future and that's Elon Musk, everything he touches turns to gold, we don't want to buy it. And then all of a sudden we find out SpaceX is a big bust. And then that investment that you thought would send you into retirement early is actually going to make you work 20 more years longer. So I would say monitor it when it goes public. Keep an eye on it. Put it on your watch list on the stock app on your phone and just kind of look at it. How are they generating revenue? Are they profitable? And then start, you know, looking at how that price shifts. Does it correct? Does it come back down? So that's when we always look at it and say, okay, now all the beautiful IPO is gone and we're back to reality. That's when we can really start to look at a reasonable share price, and that may be a good entry point.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I was wondering too, because like SpaceX encapsulates XAI, it encapsulates, you know, Starlink is a thing because of it. And, you know, the things that he's saying he's going to do is just insane. You know, the AI orbiting Earth, like that's something, you know, unhuman.
But, well, that's another factor to think about too, is no one's ever done this before, yeah. Right? So can he do it? I'm confident he can. I've seen him launch rockets. I see what he did with Tesla and what he's done with X, formerly Twitter. I mean, he is a very brilliant mind, and if anybody can be successful in that venture, it's him. But as far as looking at buying into a stock, I never buy anything at the IPO. And I would say that that's for somebody considering it. Just give it time so you can quantify it, and then before you make a decision.
Cool.
All right. So, Adam, be sure to send that bill directly to Dylan.
I didn't know I was doing pro bono work today.
No pro bono. Adam Martin joining us, a financial advisor with Strategic Financial Partners, strategicfinancialpartners.com. And you got to go check out their website. All sorts of great information on there. And Adam, I want to pivot because, you know, this is all about protecting American families. And one of the ways we can do that is making sure that you're prepared in the event something very bad happens, and a lot of that is having life insurance. And I am just shocked by the number of people who don't have life insurance.
Me too. And one of the things that I talk to a lot of people about that really irks me in today's age is you see it time and time again. We see a loss of life, and then the next thing that follows is a GoFundMe account. And for us as advisors, we look at that, and also it's a sad situation because there's a loss of life, but then it just makes it even more sad to see that they didn't be proactive. They weren't talking about if this event happens, how can I protect what we have? And they don't need to go out there and ask people to give them money.
I mean, just think about this for a minute. I mean, let's say you're a young family, and this is what really concerns me, is you do have a lot of young families and they do not have life insurance. But let's just say that, you know, you're living paycheck to paycheck and the, you know, your spouse dies. All of a sudden you're without income. You still have to pay bills. You've still got to pay a mortgage. All of those expenses are still there, but the paycheck is not.
That's right. People get accustomed to running a joint household with joint income, and then they put this off thinking, oh, well, I've got time. I'm young. I'm healthy. I don't have to worry about this. But they just kind of put the thought of, you know, what if I'm in a car accident, or what if I do come down with a debilitating or a deathly illness? They don't think about those things until it's too late. And generally what happens when a situation like that arises is we typically see what we call a fire sale. So they're trying to unload the house just to get out from underneath it. They're selling assets that they had tried to build up that were going to be allocated for retirement. They're not funding kids' education goals. So the what we like to call life insurance when we do planning is a foundation, a strong foundation. You'd never want to build a beautiful home on a weak foundation, and that's where it all starts.
And again, life insurance, how does it actually help protect a family's lifestyle and their long-term goals, like college for the kids, for example, things like that?
So here's typically what we do when we evaluate a life insurance need. We base that off of your income, typically 10 times your earned income. And that's not an arbitrary number that we just say, oh, you need $1 million worth of coverage. We actually quantify and say this is adequate for two reasons. One, if something happens, we can adequately replace an income for 10 years. The other is that we have the amount of money that comes in that can pay off debt. So you don't have to fire sell the house. We don't have to give up the college education funds for the kids. We get those plans that, you know, a life event happened, it gives you time to grieve, but then it also keeps your goals on track.
This is good advice from Adam Martin from Strategic Financial Partners, strategicfinancialpartners.com. You know, a lot of people don't think you can do this, but you can actually get life insurance, what, to protect your income? Is that right?
Yeah, I don't want to mistake that with, like, disability insurance, because that is typically the income replacement type.
Right.
We're talking about a life or death situation on the life insurance side of stuff, so yes, there's disability insurance that if you are not able to go to work, there is a policy out there that can step in and pay you a portion, not all of your income, but a portion of it. But this is primarily around if you lose somebody that you're going through life with and you're dependent on their income, if that income suddenly went away, what would you do? So always, I don't like to kill people tomorrow. I'll just say yesterday somebody died and they're no longer with us. Could you continue to afford that car note? Could you continue to pay that house note? Could you continue to fund that 529 account for your kids? Typically, the answer is no, and it's a simple solve. You need life insurance.
So if you have a question about life insurance, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So what happens? Let's talk about what happens financially. You've got a family, primary breadwinner, passes away, car accident, whatever, incident on the job site. What happens if there is no coverage there?
Well, in today's age, we typically see a social media post about a GoFundMe, help this family. They didn't have any life insurance, and that's so that they don't have to do some kind of fire sale, like off, you know, get out from underneath the mortgage that they can't afford. Or they start making knee-jerk reactions because they're in a tight, desperate situation. And so we don't think clearly, obviously, when we're grieving over the loss of a loved one. We start making irrational decisions that could spiral your financial goals. This is simply a tool in the toolbox that steps in, pays the beneficiary a tax-free death benefit, so you're not paying taxes on the death benefit from a life insurance policy, and that immediate lump sum of money is used to pay off the mortgage. Could you feel comfortable about, I can at least keep the house, the roof over my head, because I don't have to worry about paying that monthly mortgage? You know, you may decide to get rid of a car because you don't need it because there's no longer a spouse driving it. But we don't want you fire selling things just because you don't have the assets.
So I've heard that just having the insurance is really gives you a peace of mind. Is that true?
Absolutely, it gives you a peace of mind, because if you don't have $1 in the stock market but you got $500,000 worth of life insurance, you can go to bed soundly at night knowing if something happens, at least my family's taken care of.
All right, Adam Martin, if people want to call you directly, how can they get in touch with you?
My phone number is 901-260-2438, but you send me an email, because that's adammartin@strategicfinancialpartners.com. That's adammartin@strategicfinancialpartners.com.
All right. Again, strategicfinancialpartners.com is the website. You heard Adam, his information there. And, of course, you can also reach out to us, and we're happy to pass that information along. Any questions you may have, these are the folks that we trust, ladies and gentlemen, and you can trust them, too. Adam, good to see you. Crank up that AC, my friend.
I absolutely will. It's good seeing you.
All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. Dylan, last night we were at the Memphis National Golf Club, and what a beautiful facility out there in where is it? Collierville? It's in East Memphis. It's way out there. It's in the burbs. Anyway, the Republican Party of Shelby County, the Women's Club there, they hosted a big event, and I was one of the keynote speakers. And Butch Wilmore, he was the astronaut who got stuck in space. Elon sent SpaceX up and brought him back. And Butch Wilkins was the keynote speaker last night. I just cannot say enough good things about the Republican ladies here in Memphis, Tennessee, in this area. Dylan, they gave me some, it's very kind-hearted. They gave me a gift card to Whole Foods.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, now you got to go.
You know, the whole lifestyle change. Yeah. Everybody, the problem is when you talk about your problems on the radio, everybody knows your business.
That is the downside.
And Everybody has a solution.
Everybody knows what's best for Todd.
It's true. I got so many ideas. I mean, I would probably fail a drug test if I took all of the advice I got last week. Yeah. But in addition to that, this is what was really funny. So I get I'm like, wow, it's a great thing. It's a gift card to Whole Foods. And then I got an entire box of Dinstals chocolates.
What a combination right there.
Yeah, absolutely. So just, you know, again, I'm living a healthy lifestyle. So I did have some of the chocolate last night, but I drank it with 2% milk.
There you go.
See, it kind of balances out.
It's a balanced diet.
But anyway, Becky Dinstall was talking about it's. This is our favorite candy shop, and they're the official chocolatier of the Todd Stern Radio Show. They've been around for over 100 years, the same family in Memphis. And Becky says that yes, chocolate is in fact heart healthy.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite thing from them are the chocolate strawberries they do for Mother's Day. It is one of the best things.
See, there you go. It's healthy.
It is healthy.
Dip it in a banana, chocolate covered. Boom, you're good.
It's at least half healthy. Which I'll take that over not healthy.
50-50, yeah. Right? What do you got to lose?
Exactly.
And then, I didn't realize she did this, there are little chocolates in the shape of the state of Tennessee.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's clever.
Love that. So thank you. Thank you, Republican ladies. So you're not only eating healthy, but you're giving me a nice treat as well. So anyway, wonderful night. Butch and his wife, Deanna, just their salt of the earth people. And, you know, this guy, he wrote a book called Stuck in Space. And so he gave a speech last night, gave a talk about it, and just really delivered a home room. Standing room only crowd, a huge, huge crowd last night. So just a lot of fun. I want to say thank you to the Republican ladies. I've been getting a lot of messages about the book tour. Todd, are you coming to our town? Yes, we are working on that. So here's the deal. If you're a radio station and you want us to come to and do an event, then you've got to reach out and let us know, and we'll put that on the calendar. We're going to be very busy. The book comes out August the 11th, and we're going to be running and gunning from that point on. Already lining up speaking engagements. We're going to be in a lot of the big cities and towns around the country and small towns as well. But you need to let us know ahead of time. And, of course, we'll be doing events in the first part of next year as well. But leading up to Election Day, we're going to be I'm trying to figure out a polite way to say it. We're going to be busy to the wall, so as they say. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's a 350-some-odd page book. So this is a big read, and I'm excited. Dylan, your name is in the book.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
In a good way? Like you?
Yeah, more or less. Okay. Yeah,
more or less.
Helen's is, too.
Oh, that's very kind.
Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you. Oh, so I told – I've got to – I'm sorry. I've got to go back to the – I'm like, how do you introduce a guy from outer space?
Yeah.
And so I said, well, I said, you know, what Disclosure Day comes out, what, Friday?
Yeah.
And everybody's going to be talking about it. So everybody's talking about aliens. I said, everybody's talking about aliens. I said, here's my take on the aliens. I said, if they do exist, I said, the aliens probably flew over California and West Hollywood and said, yeah, we're not touching this planet, and then just turned right around. So people seem to enjoy. I get that got a good laugh.
You're very clever when you speak, Todd.
I also told Butch that we've got an intern that's literally building spaceships using equipment that's supposed to be used for the talk show.
They might want to check him out. He is very alien-like.
It's the reason why our stream keeps stopping, because the intern's building a spacecraft. What's up with that? All right, folks, tomorrow, noon o'clock on the radio, we will see you then. ToddStearns.com. Go check that out. We've got some great stories and videos for you. Get out there and be good, everybody.